Thank you, Miss Linda. Amen. She blew the place up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're so blessed here to have great musicians, great song leaders, choir directors, all right. We are a blessed church. And I thank God for that. And be in prayer for Miss Christy. She's not feeling good tonight. And I think about it all the time. It's funny because the reason I learned to play the piano, I taught myself. I ain't going to tell you the guys I watched on YouTube to try to figure out how to play the piano. But Floyd Kramer was one of them. And I can't tell you the other guy. He was an evangelist. But I'd sit and I'd watch him. I'd learn the songs because we didn't have a piano player. The first church I went to, I led singing from the piano sometimes. And then you come to a church like this, you think, man, it's great to have good musicians and good singers and good song leaders, and we are truly blessed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll end up my little series here, dealing with things not to be ignorant of, and we'll deal with afflictions tonight. So look at verse 8, if you will. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. Remember last week I told you they were confused. The church of Corinth was carnal and they were confused. That's if you want to put a title ahead of the Corinth church, they were confused and carnal. And by the way, if you're carnal, you're usually confused. If you're confused, you're usually carnal. So they go hand in hand. But notice verse 8, Paul says, "For I would not, brethren," and notice the word brethren, he's speaking to the believers, he said, "For we would not have you," let me say that again, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we," notice this next few words here, "we were pressed out of measure above strength," notice that, "without above strength, insomuch that we despaired even in the life." Verse 9 says, "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves," I love this, "but in God, which raiseth the dead." I believe if you study the life of Paul, you'll see one occurring things that he deals with, and it's affliction. Paul dealt with a lot of affliction. But also, if you study the life of Paul, you also see he had a life of faith. A life of faith that he trusted the Lord, as even Abraham trusted the Lord in the day that he carried Isaac up, and he said, "I knew if I would have taken his life, God, you would have been able to raise him up again." But see, Paul had the same faith. He said, "We have the sentence of death, but we trusted the Lord. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, hey, there was some murmuring and things about Paul and what happened to him in Asia apparently, and the things that the persecution. And we don't have a lot of information. If you study it, it's in Acts chapter 19 and Acts chapter 20. You'll see a little bit going on there. We really don't see the whole story because God didn't want us to see it, or else it would have been in the Bible. Amen. But we do know that Paul said that they were pressed. They were pressed above measure. That word "pressed" here in your Bible simply means to be weighed down. You ever felt that way? Y'all need to get your amen fixed. There's some amen broken here tonight. Amen. And you ever feel just weighed down? Amen. I agree, preacher, with that because I felt that way even right now. And you just feel like you're suffocating and the pressure's just on you. You know, one of the most horrifying things you would ever hear as a EMT, paramedic, whatever you may be, is when you walk into a house and the person says, "I feel a crushing or a pressure in my chest." Immediately we don't go, "Well, good luck." No, that sets an alarm up in EMT's life. When you go into a house and they say, "It feels like there's an elephant sitting on my chest," and we have nurses here, you don't want to hear that in the ER either, or in the hospital room. It feels like there's an elephant sitting on my chest. The pressure. The pressure, and by the way, right after the pressure usually comes the quitting of the heart, or the attack of the heart. And can I say in the Christian's life, a lot of times, and we'll look at this, is that Paul said, hey, don't faint. Don't quit. Don't just keep going. And Paul is encouraging the church here at Corinth. Hey, don't be ignorant or absent-minded of what really happened to us. Don't get the facts wrong what is happening to me. He says what's happening to me is because I'm serving the Lord. The world hates the Lord. Amen. And that I'm going to suffer persecution because Christ suffered persecution and I'm carrying His cross. He said, hey, listen, I believe Paul with all my heart. I believe this is the way Paul was. Look, don't cry for me. Don't feel bad for me. I'm serving the Lord and everything's all right. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I'm torn between two. I want to leave, but I don't want to leave. Why was that? Because Paul's ready to go. And tonight, we don't need to be ignorant of afflictions that we're going to face. You know, there's a horrible teaching, I think, that has gone around the world, and I believe it's this. If you'll only come to Jesus, everything will be all right. Yeah. Now, in eternity sense, that's true. Amen? Everything's all right in eternity. But can I say, we've got to live in this world, and in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Don't be ignorant that, hey, I got saved. We see it all the time. You mark her down. Somebody comes, gets saved. They go back and they're like, woohoo, I won the victory. And all of a sudden the devil says, uh-uh. The devil says, uh-uh. And they're like, wait a minute, I just got saved. Everything's supposed to be good. I got saved or I joined the church and I was supposed to get a new job. I like this one. We having marital problems. We went to church one Sunday and we're still having marital problems. Hey, listen to me, my friends. It's not like that. You just don't walk in the hospital and say, well, I feel better just from walking in the doors of the hospital, right? You got to go see the doctor. It's the same way with church. You know, you come in here and it's good that you're here. Amen. It's good that you walked in here, but you need to meet the doctor tonight. I'm not the doctor. We do have a doctor in the church now. Matter of fact, Dylan's wife is to be a doctor. But I promise you, she's not the doctor you need. You need to go to the great physician, Jesus Christ, and He's the one that works in your life. But just because you get saved, just because you come to church, just because you tithe, just because you treat your wife right, just because you raise your kids right, doesn't mean you're not going to have affliction or tribulation or trials in your life. And Paul's saying, look, church at Corinth, hey, just because you're saved, just because you're blood bought, doesn't mean that you're not going to have afflictions and trials. Paul said, I'm pressed. You know, I remember as a kid, we used to go to the where they grind the corn. And they had the old mill there. And basically, there was a big pole across two grinding rocks, and you poured the corn in there, and you walked around with it, and it ground the corn for you. I used to love that as a little kid. I loved it. And my grandfather bought a smaller version of it, and I loved that even better because I was able to work that by hand. But you know, you think about, you put that kernel of corn in there, and you grind it, and you press it, and you grind it, and you press it, and now it becomes a cornmeal. You know, you think about that in our life sometimes. Ain't that the way life treats us sometimes, it seems, that we're just in the mill? We're being ground? But can I say, is that Paul said, look, it's going to happen. Don't think it a strange thing when tribulations come your way and go, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, you know what? And I'll give you why and what affliction should cause us to do. But listen, it's going to come. Mark her down. But can I say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He said He overcame the world. Why? So we could overcome the world. And the afflictions are going to come. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Williams, why do afflictions and troubles come in our life? I give you four things as why. Number one is so you'll attend to the tested. So you will attend to the tested. Look at verse 4 of this chapter. This whole chapter is amazing. Verse 4 says, look at verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I like that. You say, well, I'm just not finding comfort in the Lord. Well, you're not looking in the right spot. He's the God of all comfort. I mean all of it. And notice verse 4 says, who comforted us in all. Now notice that word all again, in all our tribulation. Which we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Why does God allow us to go through trials and tribulations is so you can go to the next person and tend to them as a good Samaritan. And when they are in their testing time, when they're in their tribulation time, you go and you tend to them. We've lost that in the Baptist movement, my friend. You know what we've done? And I'm guilty as anybody. Stay down. God help us. Me and Pastor was just talking about this this week. You know, the statement is independent Baptists, we'll talk about them, are the only ones that shoot their own wounded. God help us. You think Jesus would walk by a wounded soldier and go, well, good luck to you? No, He didn't do that to you. He didn't do that to me. He reached out with a nail-scarred hand and picked me up out of the mire clay, out of the horrible pit, and set my feet on a solid rock, amen? That's the way God is, and if we want to be Christ-like, we have to tend to those who are being tested and those who are being going through tribulation and lend a brotherly hand and say, hey, I want to encourage you, instead of saying, as Job's friends did, well, you put yourself in the situation, Job. It's all because of your sin. You didn't get yourself out. Wow. God help us to tend to those who are being tested. Number two, here's another reason. So we will transfer our trust. Get that tonight. The reason we go through these afflictions and these trials and these tribulations, as Paul is talking about, this whole chapter gives us the reason why, is because so we'll go and we'll tend to those who are tested. But number two, so we will transfer our trust. Look at verse 9. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul said, I don't trust in me. We've already, if you know the life of Paul, Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. Yeah, I mean, it's the do channel. It's, you know, we turn over to the do channel. I want to do this, but God don't want me to do this, you know. And we think about Paul's life, and listen to me. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And I've always wondered, where do I fit in? If he's chief, Lord help me, where am I? And Paul said that I've gone through these tribulations and I've gone through this. But why do we go through this? So we'll take our trust that we put in ourselves, right? And we do away with that and we put our trust in the Lord God. Why do we do that? Because we know God has our best interest at hand. God is not going to, listen to me, God is not going to tempt you with evil, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. God's not going to tempt you with evil. God tempts or tempts you with good. So you'll better yourself. So your trust will be stronger in the Lord. You know, and I wouldn't do this tonight, but if I was to bring somebody up here and said, you know the old test, fall back, just trust me. You know what? The first time, they're going to be a little apprehensive, right? If they do it at all. But they do it and I catch them, no problem. I say, well, let's do it again. Second time, they're still going to be a little apprehensive, but we do it again. We do it 10 times. We do it 20 times. On about the 30th time, they'll say, man, we got this. And you just get up here and you start falling back. Have you ever thought about your life, how many times God's caught you? How many times God's worked in your life and you've fallen on Him and He's caught you and He's caught you and He's done this for you. You just trusted in Him. And hey, listen, Jesus never fails. He never fails. So why do we have a problem going, Lord, I'm just going to fall in your arms? He's going to catch you. Now, the fall may scare you, but He's going to catch you. Listen to me. The reason that we go through these afflictions and trials and testing and tribulation is so we can take and transfer our trust to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if everything went well in our life, we wouldn't need God. What is it said that God is more real in the bad times and in the valleys of our life than He is when we're on the mountaintop? How true is that? You know, today the rug got pulled out from all of us. If you would have come up here at about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock today, you would have seen staff with tears in their eyes and thinking, what happened? You know, I mean, really and truly. And you know, of course, I have my own way of dealing with stuff. My way of dealing with stuff is with music. If you see me on the piano, usually, and I'm up here by myself, I'm usually dealing with something, or I'm practicing a song. So I leave that edge open for you. So every time y'all see me, they go, oh, Brother Wiggins is going through another trial. I may be just practicing a song and playing for the fun of it. But I go to music. Music is kind of my outlet, and the scripture. And boy, I go to the scripture. I listen to music. I go to the scripture. And you know, I was thinking this today, is that Jesus has never failed me. And I want to kick myself sometimes when I go, well, I wonder if the Lord will work this out. And I'm going, what did you just say? You just took faith and you threw it out the window and you said, well, God, maybe you can work it out. I know God can work things out. I know my Lord can work things out. My God has worked time and time again. Why should I worry? When Bailey was little, I like telling my Bailey stories. And of course, most of you knew Bailey as a young child. She had seizures. They didn't know why she wasn't developing mentally, physically, and all these things. They had her on every kind of medicine known to every name of the pharmaceutical world. I mean, and so we had it was $1,000 a month for her medications. Bailey would not sleep at night. She stayed awake. We always say this. She stayed awake crying 21 hours of the day. Me and Donya would take shifts. Donya would take rock Bailey, hold Bailey. I would take a shift, and then our marriage was in great shape at that time. Wonderful shape. And it was testing. It was a testing time in our life when you got a crying baby that you don't know what to do for. I mean, you just really don't know. You're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then we found out she loved music. Hallelujah. But then we lost our insurance. $1,000 a month, brother. That's a house payment. I didn't have $1,000 a month at that time. We were in evangelism at that time, and I was living off credit card. Going from church to church, just Lord was working it out. But we lost our insurance. And I told my wife, you know, I know the effects of taking somebody off of medication just like that. I do. And I wouldn't advise this to anybody. But the Lord gave me and my wife peace about just taking Bailey off all medications. And so we did. And can I say that when we did it, I didn't do it and go, oh, I didn't. The Lord gave me strength and gave me faith that I'd never had before. And can I say, at that moment, from now, Bailey's not had seizures. Bailey has slept. We have to wake her up now. I'm serious. Used to, she would not sleep without somebody in the bed with her or without her video playing every night of her life. Now she goes, gets in the bed, hops in the bed, gets her in, and she goes to sleep, and we got to go wake her up in the mornings. Can I say that what we did, we just transferred our trust into the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Because there was times I was thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do. This kid's crying. Again. I you know, Bailey never walked. When she got to the age she should have been walking, she didn't walk. Of course, we found out, you know, she has a mental handicap, and she just took after her dad. That's all I know. But you know what? One of the joys of my life are my kids and Bailey. I wouldn't trade Bailey for any kid that's what we would call normal. No way, no how. When I'm in the worst mood of my life, I sit in my chair or I'm in my office and I feel, da-doo. I've learned to study with Bailey. Da-doo. I wouldn't trade nothing for that. Sometimes I'm in the worst mood. I know y'all don't believe I get in bad moods, but I do. And it's just that hand that goes over my arm and she has to pull Daddy in. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you just trust the Lord. You do. And then we see in verse 12 that the third thing tonight, the reason afflictions come is to test our testimony. I heard a song one time, without a test, there is no testimony. Notice verse 12, if you will. He says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Notice that. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Here's what Paul's saying, is that our testimony is very important to us. But our testimony is this, is that I didn't quit. and that God is good, and that the grace of God aboundeth in me. Because why? Paul said, for when I'm weak, or whenever I have this thorn in my flesh, he said, I need grace. And God said, I give grace to the humble. And Paul said, your grace is sufficient for me. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. Man, what a statement Paul said. That our testimonies will be tested. So why? So we can have a testimony. What good is a testimony if it's never been tested? You know, I could sit up here all day and say, hey, I'm a genius. But until you sit down and you ask me questions, you won't know that I'm not a genius. Amen. Let me give you the last thing tonight. And I believe we see this all through this chapter. I wish I had time to go through it all, but we'll look at verse 10. So the last thing is, so we'll triumph over our troubles. You know what's great about life is when you look back and you see how God's brought you through a lot of hurdles, a lot of those victories that God has won through your life, and you go, wow, man, God's good. God's good. Notice verse 10, if you will. Notice what he says, who delivered us from so great death, and doeth deliver in whom we trust, that we that He will yet deliver us. He said, hey, we've been through this ordeal, and yet God brought us through it. Hey, it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, and your situation is going to be different than my situation. Your testing and your trial, and it may be health-wise, it may be family-wise, it may be job-wise, it may be world-wise. I don't know what you're going through, but I will say this, is that the God that helps me, and the God that helps our pastor, and the God that helps everybody here tonight, is the same God who will help anybody. He doesn't pick and choose and say, well, I'll help you, you know, with a little bit here. No, God says, hey, I'm available for anybody. All of the believers, He said, hey, I'm available to help you. You don't have to go through this alone. Why in the world, and being a pastor, being an associate pastor, being a youth director, I've seen this 100 times. Affliction comes in somebody's life and they're like, well, as soon as we get this worked out, preacher, we'll be back in church. I don't know if I told you all this horrible story, but I was reminded a couple weeks ago about this whenever I was looking through some old pictures. Whenever I was pastoring in Alabama, we had this family in church, and he was a Sunday school teacher. She worked in our church doing different things, bulletin board stuff. And they started missing. Started missing. I had to let him go from his class. Started missing. Never even come. I went and knocked on the door one day and finally caught him. We will catch you. Amen. And if you're not home, we'll go to Walmart and wait on you. And I knocked on the door, and she came to the door. She said, oh, Brother Wiggins. I said, mm-hmm. And I put my foot in the doorway. I said, where y'all been? She said, well, Brother Wiggins, you know we've been having some marital problems, some issues. But she said, I promise you, as soon as we get it worked out, we're going to be back. And you know what I said underneath my breath? You'll never be back. Amen. This is a horrible story, but just a few months later, her husband beat her to death in their home. Guess who got the call? They found her body out in the back of a cemetery. They had two little girls, Cheyenne and Shiloh. And I had to tell those two girls the very day that we found out, I had 5 minutes to prepare myself. As the bus was coming, they said, Brother Wiggins, you need to tell them that we looked for her mother 2 weeks, by the way. Her body was found 2 weeks later. He went to Ohio, fled the area anyway. And can I say that that was one of the worst days of my life as a pastor, when I had to kneel by a bed and say, your dad killed your mom, beat her to death with his own hand. Can I say to you, is that when afflictions and trials and troubles and all that come in our life, The worst place for you to be is out in the world. The best place is to be here. Now, I'm not saying that just because you're here that God's going to wave the magic wand over you and that marriage is going to go, wow. It's going to take, you got to work at it. You know, it's going to take you being in Sunday school. Amen. It's going to take you being here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's going to take you, hey, saying no to that overtime and saying, you know what, I need to be at church because why? My family is important to me. And saying, hey, we're going through some troubled times and I'm going to put my trust in God. And I know my testimony is being tested, but I'm going to stay firm. But listen to me tonight, is that we've got to stay the course. You got to stay strong. You got to stay in church. You got to stay in the Bible. Stay in prayer. And just keep going and keep going and keep going. Me and Pastor was talking yesterday. We were talking about the theme for next year. And I said, you know, Pastor, maybe we need to change the theme to let's just keep plodding along. Because I believe in every message he's preached in the last 6 months, he said that statement. You just keep plodding along. And I thought, you know what? How true is that? Don't you give up. Don't you faint not. Hey, the time's going to come when you're going to be faced with all kind of troubles and tribulations and all these things. And the devil's going to go, well, you see, your God ain't here. You might as well just give up. Listen to me. He's real. The devil's real. But can I say that my God is real? And that He will come just in the nick of time. He may not come early to you. He may not come on time to you. He may not come late. But I promise you, He's going to come in His time. And He's going to be with you. And He's going to minister to you through this situation. For all things work together for the good. I believe that. I believe God works it together. Now, it may take Him a while to work it out. He may have to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. But you don't fear, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God will be there with you. You keep fighting. You keep standing. You endure. You overcome. You keep going over those hurdles. You just keep going forward. Keep going forward. Look back, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a well-known verse. I'll read this and I'm done tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. By the way, everybody's tempted, everybody's tested. It's part of being a human being. But notice what God says here, what the Bible says here. He says, but God is faithful. If that's all that verse said right there, if there was a period after that, I'd be okay with that. God is so faithful. You know, I was telling you a story about David and Michelle and how he killed his own wife. And I'm telling you what, folks, I was a young pastor. I was in early 20s, somewhere along in there. I didn't know what I was doing. I just showed up and wanted to preach. And then realized there was people that came. And I need to pastor those people. I said, God, I don't know what to do. I've never dealt with this situation. I called preacher friends of mine and said, well, guys, what I do? They said, I don't know. I never heard of that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks for the counsel. Brother Crawford was one on my call. Shame on him. He said, I'll be praying for you. Bling. I called my home pastor. He said, I'll be praying for you. Bam. Now I realize, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to serve you. I'm just going to keep plodding along. So I say that one day I got a call to the girl that was killed, that was a member of our church. Her father called, or her mother called and said, you need to get over here. My husband's going crazy. I got to the house. It was a trailer, of course. We're in Alabama. And I got there, and he was crawling around on his knees in the living room. He was making circles with his knees, just crying and begging and just saying, why? I'm going to tell you what. I didn't know what to do. But I said, God, you're going to have to work this out. Before long, he come up to me and said, Brother Wiggins, he said, please, tell me how to be saved. I didn't prompt the guy. He said, tell me. And he grabbed a hold of my jeans. He said, tell me. He said, I'll never see Michelle unless I'm saved too. I took my Bible and I showed him how to be saved. He trusted the Lord as his Savior. Through a tragedy, God was still faithful. As far as I know, that family is still in church today. A family was never in church, but I believe today they're still in church. Can I say that it's a big family. They all wore overalls with a coat over there when they came to church. I love that family. You know what? It began to spread through that family. People getting saved. People getting reached. God's faithful. He's faithful. Notice what this verse said. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's what God says. You're going to go through testings. You're going to go through this, but look for the exit signs. Because there's always an exit sign. You can always say, well, hey, this temptation got me, and you can fall on the floor and blame God for the rest of your life, blame the pastor, blame the Sunday school teacher, the reason your life failed, and you can just lay down and say, I quit, I give up, and you can faint, and you can do all that, or else you can look for God in everything and say, God, where are you at? And sometimes God's going, hey, here's an exit. Here it is. You know those ridiculous things they say on airplanes, right? You get on there, you get comfortable, and they finally say, and the little lady gets up there, shows you how to do the little click thing. Nobody ever pays attention to this. Nobody pays attention. I watch every time I'm in the plane. Everybody's on it. You know when they would pay attention? Is when that plane went down. Right? And they'd be going. You'd want to know where the exits were then, right? Well, in Christianity and in our life, God a lot of times says, hey, here it is. And you know what we do? When we're not going through any troubles or testing or tribulation, we look at Him like we look at the stewardess on the airplane. And we go, we've heard this 1,000 times. I've heard preacher preach that message 100. I've heard Brother Clark teach that in his class. Hey, but listen to me. God gives us a way out. Now, sometimes it may take us a while to get to the exit door. Sometimes we go through hurt. Sometimes we go through these afflictions. But can I say, God always gives us a way out. You just got to be watching. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I know my day hasn't went too well, according to me. But I know, according to God, that a plan's being worked out. You know what? I think about this all the time. I think about some of you, like Miss Van Fleet and Brother Bandy. I hate cancer. I really do. I hate the effects that it has on people. And it breaks my heart. But you know, time and time again, I've seen people go through this, but I've seen nurses, doctors, cardiologists, I've seen people get saved. I see church members get revived because there's somebody who just keeps going, who just keeps going, and they don't quit. When you read the end of life, the Paul's life, guess what happens? Paul, we don't read that Paul quit because he was persecuted. By the way, you ought to read where he says, we were persecuted but not cast down. We were distressed, he said, but we didn't quit. We just kept going. And at the end of Paul's life, whenever he's speaking to the young Timothy, as he's passing the torch on to Timothy, Paul didn't say, Timothy, you might want to get out now. He didn't say that. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And Timothy, here you go. You keep going. God is faithful. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, I certainly do not know the hearts and the minds of your people. But Lord, I do know that there's people here tonight that's going through trials and tribulations, testings and afflictions. Lord, the pressure, the weight is on them. Lord, I just pray, God, tonight that they would see that, God, you're standing there. You're right there with them. Lord, you're the God of all comfort. Lord, maybe somebody here tonight just needs comfort from you, from your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray you give that to them tonight. Maybe they need grace and peace and understanding. Lord, I know that you'll work it out. Lord, we ask you to bless now. We ask it in Jesus' name as we sing hymn 160. If you'll sing this with us, let's all, as we stand and as they begin to sing.
Oh, soul of